Okay. Before we have our quiet time, let's all get on the same page. If you're in the Sparkly Book, it's page 337, the last paragraph. If you're in the second edition, it's page 292, paragraph 5. If you're in the first edition, it's page 271, the third full paragraph. If you're in the JCIM, it's page 141, the eighth paragraph. And if you're reading from the CIMS edition, it's page 283, paragraph 42. Okay. Let's take a few moments to be quiet together. Okay. Good evening. And welcome to everyone who's joining us on the internet. You know, as you engage in awakening, by desiring to experience whatever that means, you are going to find that your purpose for being is different from what you thought. And if you aren't expecting that, it might be a surprise that doesn't please you. But I want you to be aware that that's the case, so that you can abide with the unavoidability of it and adjust more gracefully. You're here actually to be far more than you thought. We talked last week about the fact that you're not used to thinking of yourself as being holy. And this week we're going to talk a little bit about what being holy means. And in this sense, you will begin to see that there is a difference between your purpose as it truly is and what you have for the last 5 years during this lifetime you thought your purpose was. Now, in this world, Not in the world to come. In this world, in this experience of world, you can become a spotless mirror in which the holiness of your Creator shines forth from you to all around you. That's a glorious purpose of being. In this world, you can become a spotless mirror in which the holiness of your Creator shines forth from you to all around you. You can reflect heaven here. Well, what did we say last week that heaven was? Heaven is awareness. Awareness that is not distorted by or colored by thoughts. Occupying awareness that do not reflect reality, that do not reflect the truth, that do not reflect your function. So, you can reflect heaven here. You can be that undistorted, pure, conscious awareness of reality as it is right here. Not in the sweet by and by, after you die. Your function has always been to be conscious of the truth here, now, as you put it, in this lifetime. This lifetime is just eternity imagined as something having a beginning and an end, a birth and an upcoming death. But as you make this shift of consciousness called awakening, you'll find that the experience of birth will disappear. It will not be a part of your memory. And an impending death will also disappear. And you will remember wholeness. You will remember eternity, if I may put it that way. And you will not labor under a false impression that there are beginnings and endings. You can reflect heaven here, yet no reflections of the images of other gods must dim the mirror that would hold God's reflection in it. Well, the reflections of the images of other gods. It's a nice poetic way of speaking about your thoughts. All the thinking that you have done, all of the imaginative, intellectual creativity you have gone through, which you have placed upon the altar in you, which you have filled your awareness with and preoccupied yourself with. Yet no reflections of the images of other gods must dim the mirror that would hold God's reflection in it. Earth can reflect heaven or hell, God or the ego. There it is right there. Heaven is God. Heaven is equated with God. Heaven is equated with first gear. You in your right mind. Hell is the equivalent of second gear, where you have engaged in this self-assertion that brought you into existence as a concept you had of yourself that you insisted in bringing into manifestation, into recognizability. That's all there is to hell. All there is to hell is your mind cluttered up with your thinking, cluttered up with your preoccupation with what you have created out of pure imagination. And all, of course, all you could create through the use of your mind would have been a distorted perception of that which already existed, of creation itself. So hell is nothing more than your active misperception of heaven right here and right now. It's not another place. It's not a place you go to. It is you insisting on defining creation, heaven, in your own terms, and getting others to join you in agreement as to what those terms mean. So hell is an ongoing, constantly re-energized misperception of the kingdom of heaven. You could say it's a distortion of that pure awareness, which is your mind, which is God's mind, presencing itself right there where you are, as all there is of you. That's heaven. You need but leave the mirror clean and clear of all the images of hidden darkness you have drawn upon it. Hidden darkness. Well, when you say, I am going to determine that this is such and such, and you make a definition, and you say, from now on, that is what I have determined it to be, and I will govern myself according to that definition. Now, what has happened? You have obscured the real thing by replacing it in your mind with a dominant misperception, which you love because you created it. Now, what has replaced reality is a fuzziness, as we discussed, an out-of-focus experience. It's not illuminated. It is dark in that it is fuzzy, in that it is hard to determine what is really there. So when it refers to hidden darkness, it's darkness that you can't actually put your finger on. It's darkness that is hidden because there is no truth to it. Your imaginations are constituted of hidden darknesses, darknesses that tend to obscure something underneath it, something behind it, the truth. So, you need but leave the mirror clean and clear of all the images of hidden darkness you have drawn upon it. How do you clean it? How do you clear it? By not thinking. You clean it or clear it by meditating, by becoming still, providing yourself with a gentle focus and staying with that without engaging in thinking, so that your mind becomes free of thoughts. That's how you clear the mirror. That's how you cease to introduce illusion. God will shine upon it of himself. God will shine upon the mirror. God is shining upon the mirror. Even though your thoughts are obscuring what's shining on the mirror truly, God is shining upon the mirror. God will shine upon it of himself. Only the clear reflection of himself can be perceived upon it. You see, your hidden darknesses can't really be perceived on it. Reflections are seen in light. Simple. In darkness, they are obscure. and their meaning seems to lie only in shifting interpretations rather than in themselves. You see, God's thoughts reflected on the mirror are themselves the real thing. They're not concepts of the real thing applied to the real thing after the fact. The reflection of God needs no interpretation. It is clear. Clean but the mirror, again, by ceasing thinking, clean but the mirror and the message which shines forth from what the mirror holds out for everyone to see, no one can fail to understand. This is your function. Your function is to value the silence, to value the absence of your thinking enough to abandon the thinking so that you might find yourself in the silence, which could be equated with the clean mirror, in which that which is real is being reflected, and because there is now nothing to obscure what is real that is being reflected, you can see it. What is real becomes your experience. And when what is real becomes your experience, that becomes what you express. That becomes what you communicate. The message on the mirror, it is the message that the Holy Spirit is holding to the mirror that is in him, the one who is looking for truth. He recognizes it, the seeker, because he has been taught his need for it. I am teaching you of your need for it. Your suffering experience is teaching you the need for it. You will recognize it because you have been taught your need for it, but know not where to look to find it. What it actually says is, he recognizes it because he has been taught his need for it, but knows not where to look to find it. Let him then see it in you and share it with you. Let the Holy Spirit see it in you and share it with you, because that is the Holy Spirit's function, and that is the way you come back into your right mind. But again, in order to experience this influx of revelation, you must devalue your capacity, your so-called capacity, to think. And you must abandon practicing it. Could you but realize for a single instant the power of healing that the reflection of God shining in you can bring to all the world, you could not wait to make the mirror of your mind clean, to receive the image of the holiness that heals the world. You hear that? Could you but realize for a single instant? It implies that you can't, or you aren't. But if you could realize it, blah, 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 such and such would happen. You would discover such and such. Well, what is it that keeps you from realizing it? Because certainly the Father has not given you a purpose that you're incapable of fulfilling. What keeps you from realizing it for a single instant, even, is that you do not want to abandon authority that you think you have and which you value highly. It's that simple. If you're going to wake up, you're going to first of all say, Father, and break the silence, break your autonomy, and then you're going to say, Father, acknowledging your sonship or daughtership, thy will be done. Thy will, not mine, be done. Nobody wants to do that. Oh, a lot of people give lip service to it. But very few of you are willing, even for a moment, to say, thy will be done, and then want to know what the Father's will is. In other words, to know what the movement of creation is in this moment, aside from the definitions and meanings you've been giving to it all. You see, you've thought your purpose was to be the determiner in this life, and to learn to be the determiner of things well. Or if not well, at least with enough force that people will yield. Somewhere along the line, hopefully without too great suffering, you're going to have to arrive at the place where you're willing to say, Father, thy will be done. You're going to have to arrive at a place where you're willing to explore what that might mean. Because nothing else holds as much interest for you. You've got to arrive at that point. Could you but realize for a single instant the power of healing, that the reflection of God shining in you can bring to all the world, you could not wait to make the mirror of your mind clean, to receive the image of the holiness that heals the world. Now, what I want to convey here is that what keeps you from having this experience is something that you value greatly, but it isn't really that big a thing to abandon. To abandon willfulness, to abandon that exertion of energy to bring into existence the you want everybody to believe you are, must simply be abandoned. Stop doing it. Stop doing it for a minute. Stop doing it for a second. With true abandonment, you can do it. It's just that you didn't think that was what you needed to do. You didn't think that was part of the program, because you thought the opposite was the God Almighty purpose of being. The image of holiness which shines in your mind is not obscure and will not change. You may have obscured it with your fanciful thoughts, but it is not obscure and will not change. Its meaning to those who look upon it is not obscure. for everyone perceives it as the same. All bring their different problems to its healing light. But all their problems are met only with healing there. And I promise you that when someone comes to you and does not experience healing, it's because you have indeed chosen to respond to them with your best concepts, with your best interpretations, with your best beliefs about how things work. And you never took a moment to say, Father, aside from what I think, and aside from what this person thinks, what is the truth here? What is heaven here? And if you will not try to answer that question yourself, and if you will leave your mind silent and attentive as pure awareness, you will see what's on the mirror. You will see what is not obscure, because you will have stopped obscuring it. And when you speak what you see, there will be healing. That's your birthright. That's what it's time for all of you to begin experiencing again. The response of holiness to any form of error is always the same. It's that which comes from the pure awareness that no one has altered and distorted away from its perfect, I'm going to say, perception and experience of heaven, of reality. The response of holiness to any form of error is always the same, and that's it. There is no contradiction in what holiness calls forth. Its one response is healing, without regard for what is brought to it. Just as there's no degree of difficulty to miracles, there's no degree of horribleness or actuality to illusions. So no matter what illusion is brought, the response is always the same. It's not a response to the illusion. It's a response from that pure awareness that has looked upon reality in the absence of thinking, because there was a love for truth. It's that simple. Those who have learned to offer only healing because of the reflection of holiness in them are ready at last for heaven. Are ready at last for that experience of pure awareness in which there is no distortion present whatsoever. There, holiness is not a reflection, but rather the actual condition of what was but reflected to them here. You see, the message isn't a concept. The message isn't an interpretation. The message isn't a perception. The message is the real thing itself. Shared so clearly that it's obvious to everyone it's shared with. God is no image, and his creations, as part of him, hold him in them, in truth. They do not merely reflect truth, for they are truth. You see, the kingdom of heaven that I've been saying you are confronted with at all times, because there literally is nothing going on other than the kingdom of heaven, is truth itself, is real itself, is God presencing himself not as a concept or an object or an image, but as himself. Reality is what you are confronted with in every single experience you're having, but you are experiencing it in a distorted fashion because you have this unquenchable desire to be original and to make your mark on life, not realizing that you are life unfolding itself right there where you are. And you see, there's where the problem comes into play. Because you don't want to be life unfolding itself, you want to be the unfolder. You don't want to yield and be what the Father is being right there where you are. You don't want to fit in. You don't want to flow with. You don't want to be in consummate, utter harmony with the universe in its infinite unfolding. And that's why the primal scream comes out, because you want to stand out from the rest. And you think that's the way you bring yourself into existence. Hey, everyone, look at me. Look at me. Don't look at everything. Abandon your infinite experience of reality and have a tiny experience of me, separate from everything else. And by doing that, separate yourself from everything else. You see? This forceful self-expression that you exercise in order to stand out from what God is infinitely being is creating for you a life full of stress, full of thrills, full of fearful things, full of exciting things, but no peace, no absence of sin, sickness, or death, no unchangeable harmony, and no real experience of joy. And it's not your birthright. The next section is called The Shift to Miracles. When no perception, in other words, no thought that you've made up, when no perception stands between God and his creations, or between his children and their own, the knowledge of creation must continue forever. The reflections which you accept into the mirror of your minds in time, but bring eternity nearer or farther. What's the source of the thoughts you're letting in? Are you going to be the creator of your thoughts? Or are you going to let God's thoughts fill you? One will bring eternity nearer, the other will make it further away. But eternity itself is beyond all time. Reach out of time and touch it with the help of its reflection in you, and you will turn from time to holiness as surely as the reflection of holiness calls everyone to lay all guilt aside. Important. Reach out of time and touch it. If you're going to reach out of time, you're going to have to let go of your anchor in time. And your anchor in time is your belief in and exercise of control or authority to create whatever you can imagine through the use of your mind called thinking. But you don't want to suffer, and you say you do want to wake up. So you're going to have to dare to reach out of time. You're going to have to stop doing what creates time. And what creates time is thinking. I'm being facetious here, but stop and think about it. When you think, it takes time. If you experience a revelation, you experience a whole awareness of something, which, if you try to express it in words, will take time, even though the experience that is being described in time with words was experienced instantaneously, wholly and completely. There is so much advantage available to you, to all of you, if you will truly begin to stop thinking, if you will truly take more time to listen, take more time to be silent and receptive to information, experiences that you did not make up or create. Reflect the peace of heaven here. Now remember, heaven is not a place, unless by heaven you mean everywhere. Heaven is that conscious awareness which is not distorted by, or confused by, or obscured by spurious, imaginative thoughts. That's heaven. Reflect the peace of heaven here and bring this world to heaven. That's why I say, whatever you're looking at, be curious as to what the more of God is there than what you're seeing. What more of reality is occurring than what you're seeing. That's the way you bring this world to heaven. You ask to see more of the flower, or more of what the glass is, or more of what the fingernail is, divinely speaking. Reflect the peace of heaven here and bring this world to heaven. For the reflection of truth draws everyone to truth, and as they enter into it, they leave all reflections behind. You stand in front of a mirror, there is a reflection of you, but the you that is looking in the mirror is real. When you want to know what truth is, you are desiring to experience what is real, not an image of it, not an approximation of it. Not a reflection of it. In heaven, reality is shared and not reflected. because you're not looking at a concept. You're not experiencing a picture in your mind of what that thing means. You are experiencing that thing in its actuality, in its reality. It's a direct experience. In heaven, reality is shared and not reflected. By sharing its reflection here, its truth becomes the only perception the Son of God accepts. That's you. And thus, remembrance of his Father dawns on him, and he can no longer be satisfied with anything but his own reality. When you're willing to look at your world with the desire to know and experience the more of reality that is there than what you are experiencing, you are inviting in an experience of and letting yourself into an experience of God in everything. And in that experience of God, your Father, you remember your sonship or daughtership, your birthright. And thus, remembrance of his Father, your Father, dawns on him, you, and he, you, can no longer be satisfied with anything but his or your own reality. Your own reality as the non-thinker that you are. Your own reality as the pure conscious awareness that knows all, as a direct experience, not as a thought about an experience or a thought about a thing. You on earth have no conception of limitlessness, for the world you seem to live in is a world of limits. In this world it is not true that anything without order of difficulty can occur. When you're looking at everything from second gear, there are orders of difficulties. There are no miracles. And you're without your birthright. The miracle, therefore, has a unique function and is motivated by a unique teacher. This means a real miracle. The miracle, therefore, has a unique function and is motivated by a unique teacher who brings the laws of another world to this one. Now, it isn't that there really are two worlds. It's that in your mind, you have created a definition of reality of heaven, and that definition is a misperception of reality. And you abide in and live in and act in and govern yourself according to this misperception. And part of this misperception is that there is order of difficulty. And part of the reality of this misperception is that there are no miracles. This misperception, because it's embraced as though it's actual, can only be interrupted or rendered invalid by something entering it from somewhere outside the definitions. In other words, by reality. So, the miracle, therefore, has a unique function and is motivated by a unique teacher who brings the laws of another world to this one. In other words, the world of reality to the world you made up. The miracle is the one thing you can do that transcends order, being based not on differences, but on equality. Transcends order. What that means is it's the one thing that can transcend the orderliness of your self-created mindsets, of your definitions that you govern yourself absolutely by. The miracle doesn't fit into your rules. The miracle doesn't fit into your structures. Your structures say miracles can't happen. When a miracle happens, you've lost control. It's that simple. You abandoned your authority for whatever reason. You let yourself fit in instead of authorizing. You let yourself fit into the order of another world, the perfection of another world, the harmony of another world, of the kingdom of heaven that you have obscured by creating a misperception of it, but which you haven't gotten rid of. Miracles are not in competition. And the number of them that you can do is limitless. Wow. Your willingness to abandon thinking and to go into the silence, your willingness to be infilled with what is really present in place of what you have made up and governed yourself by, puts you in a position of having revelation occur over and over and over and over again about this thing and that thing and the other thing, and this one and that one and the other person, and this one's belief and that one's belief, and this one's problem and that one's joy. The opportunity for miracles is as abundant as your connection with everything that you have been misperceiving, and as the misperception yields to the direct experience of truth, of what it really is. That is a miracle. It is a miracle that transcends the rules of the world you have made up by means of your definitions. And when that happens, it means you're not in control. And I keep bringing that up because this is part of your birthright, to be experiencing the perfection of everything when you're not in control, when you're not securely seated in second gear. Miracles are not in competition, and the number of them that you can do is limitless. They can be simultaneous and legion. It doesn't have to be one at a time. It can be 10,000 at a time. This is not difficult to understand once you conceive of them as possible at all. Thank God, reality and miracles and the truth cannot be bound by all the chicken shit little rules that you have made up and govern yourself by. Thank God. Thank God, because your bondage is not absolute or even actual. Again, miracles are not in competition. And the number of them that you can do is limitless. They can be simultaneous and legion. This is not difficult to understand once you conceive of them as possible at all. What is more difficult to grasp is the lack of order of difficulty which stamps the miracle as something that must come from elsewhere, not from here. The only thing that can come from here is something you've made up and something that you have given the primal scream to actualize. That's the only thing that can come from here. Have you had enough of it? Would you like some refreshing experiences? A miracle must come from elsewhere, someplace other than your thinking. And it will come from the silence in you, which, if you will access it, you will find is the mirror on which God reflects Himself, creation. What is more difficult to grasp is the lack of order of difficulty which stamps the miracle as something that must come from elsewhere, not from here. From the world's viewpoint, this is impossible. What that means is that from the viewpoint of the rules you made up and the definitions of the world and universe that you abide by, that anything else, that anything can come from elsewhere has to be impossible. Again, thank God it's not. You have experienced lack of competition among your thoughts, which, even though they may conflict, can occur to you together and in great numbers. You are so used to this that it can cause you little surprise. Yet, you are also used to classifying some of your thoughts as more important, larger, or better, wiser, or more productive and valuable than others. And this is true about the thoughts which cross the mind of those who think they live apart, you know, in second gear, in the orphanage. For some are reflections of heaven, while others are motivated by the ego, which but seems to think. You see? Seems to think. Thinking is one of those things that never happened. It just seems to have happened. Well, according to your current mindsets, that's one of the things that has to be impossible. But it's not. The result, however, I'm adding the word however, the result, however, is a weaving, changing pattern which never rests and is never still. It shifts unceasingly across the mirror of your mind, and the reflections of heaven last but a moment and grow dim as darkness blots them out. Where there was light, darkness removes it in an instant, and alternating patterns of light and darkness sweep constantly across your minds. That's life. That's what you've been experiencing, you unholy ones. But you are holy, and therefore, you're not bound. Therefore, your birthright is available to you the moment you genuinely and simply abandon your devotion to thinking, spend more time listening. Be silent more often during your day. It's not necessary to always be thinking or saying something. Remember that when you're willing to become still, you're cleaning the mirror. And what God is already reflecting on the mirror can register with you. It's spontaneous, it's automatic, it's unavoidable. So do it. The little sanity which still remains in the face of this shifting patterns of darkness and light is held together by a sense of order which you establish. See, there's still the primordial scream, the assertion. To maintain that little bit of sanity. Yet the very fact that you can do this and bring any order into chaos shows you that you are not an ego and that more than an ego must be in you. For the ego is chaos. And if it were all of you, no order at all would be possible. Now, as you enter this coming week, I encourage you to invite in revelation. I encourage you to invite in what you haven't thought about, what you haven't thought up. And I encourage you to realize that as you let something new actually happen, something that you are not generating, it will be accompanied by a feeling of loss of control, of loss of authority. It will seem that you are having to abandon the self-assertion that makes you stand out and truly exist. Let that happen. Let that happen. Chaos will not be the result of your setting the order of everything. Orderliness, harmony will result when you yield into and allow yourself to fit in with everything. And let the movement of everything dictate your appropriate behavior. How to be. So that you are participating in the movement of creation cooperatively. And that's where the absence of vulnerability enters your experience, and peace, and love, and joy, and on. Again, remember, all of this is going to uncover a purpose for being that you did not make up and that you were not expecting to have unfold in you and change you. Let it happen. Let it happen. Let go of your authority. Okay. I look forward to being with you next week. And I love love you all.